Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Seema Kanwal as my special expert guest. Dr. Seema Kanwal's journey to naturopathic medicine was motivated by her enthusiasm for learning and a keen interest in the human body. She obtained her Bachelor of Science from Simon Fraser University and joined the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Forensics Laboratory in Ottawa, Ontario, upon graduation. Dr. Kanwal was drawn to naturopathic medicine after experiencing its benefits firsthand and began her training at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto. She has been a practicing naturopathic doctor in Vancouver since 2006. Dr. Kanwal is one of the few naturopathic physicians to hold pharmaceutical prescription rights in BC and one of the only naturopathic physicians in Canada to be trained in the APOE diet, the APOE diet. Presently, Dr. Kanwal is working through the Fellowship of Anti-Aging Medicine through the internationally renowned American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine and is teaching the New Principles of Sports Nutrition course on behalf of the InfoFit School of Fitness Professionals. Good morning, Seema, and welcome to this month's edition
of
Sports Nutrition Update.
Thank you, Corey. It's so good to be here with you.
Yes, and likewise, and I know you're very busy. In fact, we just spoke previously, and you're in the office, and probably you've got a list of patients waiting for you. So let's get into this interview. Your bio talks about an attraction to naturopathic medicine that was based on an experience you had. Can you tell us about that experience?
Sure. I actually used to suffer from panic attacks and anxiety and insomnia, and I basically could not sleep. So I was given lots of different medications to try to go to sleep. So benzodiazepines, antidepressants, and the whole kit and caboodle. And they just caused a lot more side effects for me than I could ever have imagined. And there was a girl that I used to work with in the forensic chemistry department in Ottawa, and she told me to go see a naturopathic doctor that she was seeing. And at that time, I hadn't heard of a naturopathic doctor, so I had no idea what that meant. So when I went to go see her in Ottawa, within 6 months, I was off of all of my medications, and that's when I knew that this was a route that I had to go, that this was my calling for me.
Now, you've been practicing for, I guess, about 6 years now.
Yeah.
And you have met a lot of people. And based on your experiencing and knowing that the drug therapy not only, in fact, doesn't work, but is very toxic and harmful, what is your perception of what's going on out there with people? And you know that naturopathic medicine seems to represent only a small little piece of the numbers of people that actually seek professional help versus the masses going to conventional doctors. Can you give us some insight as to why that is going on, why more and more people aren't seeking help from you and just continue to go to the doctors and take the drugs?
Actually, I've noticed a change, and I would say in the last 2 years now, I'm seeing more and more people that are actually, frankly, getting tired of their medical doctor giving them one drug, and then that drug has its side effects, and then you have to have another drug to counteract those side effects. So I'm actually seeing a shift as more and more people that are turning to naturopathic doctors to help them, you know, deal with whatever it is that they're dealing with. So but there's always a time and place, though, for everything. I truly believe that life is all about balance. So there are certain times where, yes, you do require the medications. For example, if someone's having a heart attack, like my dad had a heart attack, there's no way I can help you, right, naturopathically. But we can always deal with the side effects later on. So I'm actually seeing a trend where I'm seeing more and more people that are tired of being on their antidepressants or being on their anti-anxiety because you're not deficient in your Ciprolax. You're not deficient in your anti-anxiety medication. You want to figure out what is that root cause, what is that core reason that somebody is depressed or that is anxious all the time.
Yes, very well said. Now, your practice is multidimensional. Perhaps you can tell us some of the things that you offer in terms of service.
I see lots of, you know, varying different types of people when it comes to the sports injuries or, you know, chronic pain that they've suffered for many years for whatever reason, hormonal imbalances, and that goes for men as well as for women. So for women, it could be anywhere from fertility issues to premenopausal, postmenopausal symptoms, like these hot flashes and night sweats, for instance. They are so common, people think that they're normal. Well, just because something is common doesn't mean that it is normal. You know what I mean?
Yes. So you're also involved in prolotherapy. Can you tell us about that?
About prolotherapy?
Yes.
Absolutely. Prolotherapy, a lot of people here that suffer from a lot of pains for whatever reason, like either muscle or joint aches and joint pains, knee issues, hip issues, what have you, a lot of times what doctors will do, will inject corticosteroid. There's lots of issues when it comes to corticosteroids and tendon and ligament issues, is that those tendons and ligaments will become even more unstable. See, prolotherapy treats the chronic tendon and ligament instability or weakness. So the weakened areas are injected with a proliferant solution, which means that it's something that will cause inflammation in your body. And it, what in turn it does, it actually stimulates the growth of those tissues to make them stronger. So what we're doing, in essence, we're creating this inflammatory process to stimulate our own body's natural healing process, which in any inflammation, you know, any inflammation that anybody goes through, if you, you know, bump into a table, you hurt your elbow, you know, playing tennis, you go through that 21-day period of inflammation. And we always want to support that process and not inhibit the process. So the healing process with prolotherapy takes about 4 to 6 weeks after your initial treatment. But then you'll notice that the tissues, that the tendons and the ligaments will grow stronger, and they're a lot more capable of doing your original task, like whether that be for knees, so you can go back to running or you can go back to walking.
So you're actually making an injection into the capsule. What is it that you're injecting into the capsule?
I use an anesthetic called procaine and dextrose. And then some saline. So that's usually the formulation that we use. And dextrose, which is just sugar, our body naturally has.
That is based on the work of a physician, isn't it?
Prolotherapy?
Yes.
Yes, it's a Hackett-Hemwall prolotherapy.
Right.
That's the
technique. So that's sort of a fairly new therapy that is not certainly common to the conventional majority, but this is something that people would learn by maybe visiting you and you recommending it as a type of therapy because of what they present.
Yeah, in fact, prolotherapy has been around for a very long time, but it's just people just don't know how to do it. And there's risks involved with any procedure that you do. But the thing with prolotherapy, though, is that not a lot of doctors want to learn it because it is difficult to learn. You do need to know your anatomy. If you're injecting into, let's say, the shoulder joint, you need to make sure you're not going to hit any arteries or veins or nerves. So a lot of doctors don't bother because it is difficult. But where I learned it, actually, I went to University of Wisconsin. And that's where I learned the Hackett-Hemwall was there.
Before you inject, I guess it must be a fairly long needle.
Yeah, depending on the area that you're going into. So let's say the back, like if I'm having to deal with back issues, and typically you're dealing with, let's say, iliolumbar ligament as an example. To get into your iliolumbar ligament, you do need a good length of needle. Like, do you want me to tell you the size that I use?
Yeah.
4 inches.
4 inches. And
yeah.
What gauge would that be?
22.
So now you anesthetize initially before you put that needle inside?
Yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on the person. Some people can handle it, and it's no issues at all. And for some people that are a little bit more afraid of the needle and the actual side effects of it, then yes, I will put some procaine on top of the skin first before I actually inject.
I just watched Aliens 4, and they show injections, but it's all on a screen.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they got the technology. This is way into the future. So basically, the experience you have, like, how do you know where to insert that? Do you have to, do you feel your way? Do you examine the patient very closely?
Very carefully. I always make sure there's either some type of x-ray or an MRI or a CT scan. Something that has been done is usually the case. Before patients come to me, they've already been dealing with this problem for so long.
Yes.
So usually I've already have some MRI, some something. And then I'm always testing the areas, too. So there's certain types of orthopedic tests that have to be done on any given joint. So I do all my tests first. A thorough physical is done initially before I decide where the problem is. And sometimes prolotherapy is not even indicated. Sometimes it's really just the muscles themselves that are so tight that they have trigger points in them. So I use Janet Travell method for that, where sometimes all you have to do is really release the trigger points, and then maybe you don't even need prolotherapy. So I always want to go with the least invasive first, and before I go into the most invasive therapy.
Yes. Well, it sounds exciting, and I can see the connection with the knowledge of anatomy has to be more than just precise.
Oh, absolutely. You have
to really be on top of your game there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People ask me what I do at night before bed. I was reviewing my anatomy every day.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
Good nighttime reading.
You're the kind of person that I'd want to work with for sure, someone that's really committed and on top of their game.
Yeah.
Now, you're teaching the principles of sports nutrition course, but before we get into that and talk about that experience, Did you grow up as an athlete? Did you play a lot of sports? Are you playing any sports now? Are you working out? Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Actually, growing up, I was very obese, actually. I was very overweight. So, no, I didn't do any sports at all until after I graduated from high school. When I graduated from high school, I was about 200 pounds at the age of 18, and I was 2 inches shorter. But after that is when I turned my life around. I went to India for 6 months, and that's where my life essentially changed. And then when I came back to Canada is when I decided, okay, that's enough. I need to change my health. So that's when I became active. And then university, I actually played rugby and water polo.
Water polo, what a great game. I remember watching the Summer Olympics in water polo. It's a lot of treading of water.
Oh, boy. I mean, you don't even realize how much you're sweating in water polo because you're in the water anyway. But, man, are you exhausted. And now I'm not in any sports per se, but I work out every day. I'm in the gym every day.
Yeah, oh, that's
except
wonderful.
Except Saturdays. It's my only day off.
Yeah, oh, good for you. I'm curious, what happened in India that changed your life?
Well, my family that I went to go visit, they live, I'm not sure if you've seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire, in the actual slums. That's real.
I've actually been to those slums.
Exactly, and that's where my family lived. And here I realized, what the heck am I doing? I live in Canada, and I have everything for me, and yet I'm not taking advantage of anything. So that's really what happened to me. I opened up my eyes at that time.
Well, isn't that a fantastic experience? And wouldn't you also agree that a lot of our young people, you know, you and I never experienced any world war. I think our parents and maybe their parents did. So we've been raised with more or less a silver spoon in our mouth, and especially our children today, right?
Mm.
They've never had to endure any serious hardship. They kind of live in a bubble.
I was just going to say that, Corey. We absolutely live in a bubble.
I know this for myself, but it's absolutely critical to get out and to see the world and to compare myself and that. I think John Ruskin, the great art critic in the 1850s, said that everybody should draw because it helps you take more notice of everything in your life that you take for granted.
Right.
So you just stopped, you compared what you had back home, you saw how little they had, and did you see happiness? Did you see any peace? Even in the absence of materialism, did you see people maintain happiness?
All constantly. My cousins, I was just floored at how giving they were, and they had nothing. But yet they were so open and welcomed me with open arms, and these people I had never met before. It was the first time I was meeting them when I was 18.
Yeah, well, that's great. What a wonderful... That's what we call a real Scrooge experience, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've had those too, and that's wonderful, and thanks for sharing that. Now, let's talk about your experience with this course in teaching. First of all, as a teacher, have you taught other classroom sessions, and or if so, what is it about teaching that you enjoy?
I actually did teach at the Boucher Institute of Naturopathic Medicine. That's out in New Westminster there. I taught there for a year. And I taught in the clinic that they had, so I was one of the people there, the fourth-year student supervisor. So whenever they saw patients, that it was my license that they were working under. And so my teaching experience there was very different than teaching the PSN course in the sense that the students that I had for the PSN course just now, they were so motivated. They were and asked just excellent questions. I just loved teaching it. What more can I tell you, Corey?
Well, I sort of designed it to lend itself towards some structure, but also allow the teacher, you know, like when you've got that one slide and one or two words, there's a whole lot you can say that I kind of left to the teacher. Did you find that was useful or valuable so that you could inject your own sense of persuasion and insight?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of things that a unique individual. I taught that in the class. Everyone has their own biochemical individuality, but also just in personality-wise. So the way I used your course as a backbone, and I just took it from there.
Would you say that teaching the information helps ingrain the information in your own head so that you can apply it with more intensity in your own life?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it is true that you become more aware of anything by teaching it.
Completely. It becomes ingrained into you so much better, and you just know your material that much better. I don't know, it's hard to explain. When you teach something, it just comes out differently. It goes into your brain completely differently.
Yes, and as you know, the PSN is a concluding enterprise for our CSNA masters. So people, our students that are doing the CSNA, they become a CSNA master, and then they get a certificate, then they can teach the course. So what advice do you have for students right now that maybe are doing the CSNA, they've thought about the PSN, and maybe they're a little hesitant. I find that some people perceive the idea of teaching and being a teacher in a classroom environment somewhat intimidating. Do you think this is a good lesson or a good practice to help overcome that element?
Absolutely, because the students also that take this course are very motivated. And so that really, as a teacher, just helps me make sure that my next lecture is going to be fun and just have fun with it. It doesn't have to be completely serious. Of course, there's always seriousness aspect because you need to get certain information across. But at the end of the day, if you yourself are confident as a teacher standing up there in the front, people learn it and people will have fun with it and they'll want to come to your next class.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, when I started off working in a health food store, I sort of found that I was telling everyone they had to get fit and eat optimum foods to get well. And, of course, after a while, you can see that the reason that most people aren't well is because they're not doing that. But the athletes that were coming in were doing that, and they wanted to know how to run faster and jump higher. They weren't full of disease caused by not training, by eating a huge amount of the wrong kinds of food, for example. So these people that you're talking about that came to the class, there's a spark of energy. They're lit up, aren't they? Because they're already sort of athletic, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. The majority of them were personal trainers.
Yeah.
And I think a few were not, but regardless, they were in some type of health industry. And they're just excited. It's like sponges. They just wanted more information, more information. It was great.
What was your experience at the Ontario College of Naturopathic Medicine? What is their focus like on sports nutrition?
You know what? Honestly, when it comes to sports nutrition, as nutrition itself is very, very big, but not sports nutrition. Like, nutrition is something that I took the entire 5 years that I was there. You start from year one and you go all the way through. So that never stops. But nutrition with respect to sports or any other health-related issue is not something that's taught. This is something that you have to learn by yourself.
So teaching this course would provide a good opportunity for people to find a niche and offer that even to other physicians, for example,
Absolutely.
That are weak in that area.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
What are some of your favorite principles that you taught? What are some of the ones that really made an impact for you or that you like?
The hormone aspect, I would have to say, because that's something that people do not understand. And so when I taught the hormonal aspect and how will that affect people's nutritional status, my students I found were very intrigued by it and they wanted even more information.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm just writing a tutorial on hormones and the endocrine system. It's funny that you should mention that, and that's always intrigued me too. And of course, look at all this fiasco going on in the world with athletes taking doping agents in the form of exogenous hormones.
Exactly.
Now, you also prescribe and actually service your clients with prescribed injectable hormones, don't you?
I do not use injectable hormones. I do use creams or oral capsules, depending on what's happening.
I see. So can you tell us about some of the hormones that you prescribe and to whom you prescribe them to?
When it comes to male athletes or when it comes to men in general, it all depends on what the hormone test will show me. A lot of times you have to make sure that your adrenal glands are the ones that are functioning correctly. If they're not functioning correctly, then your body's not going to be able to make certain hormones on its own, and it will need some type of assistance. So for men, it tends to be either DHEA or testosterone that is prescribed. But for women, depending on where they are in their menstrual life, whether they're almost finished menstruating or they're about to finish or that they are menstruating but they're not regular, then those are the women that I will tend to prescribe either estrogen and progesterone to. But, of course, in amounts, it varies every single person.
Right. And based on your practice to date and the experience you have, what are some of the most common concerns or complaints that people are coming into? What are some of the things that stand out?
Sleep.
Sleep?
Sleep is the biggest issue. If you are not sleeping, you're not repairing. It's that simple. And that goes for a man as well as women. And people tell me constantly, oh, I'll sleep for a couple hours, then I'll get up, and then I won't be able to go back to sleep. Oh, but that's normal for me. No, that's not normal. If you do not sleep consecutive for a good, solid 6 to 8 hours, there's something wrong. But in our society, it's all just about a quick pill. So I'll just take melatonin or I'll just take a sleeping pill and then I can sleep and I'm fine. It's not about that. You have to make sure that your body's sleeping so that your body's repairing, which means that you're going to be able to go through your next beautiful day.
Yeah, I just reading about the impact of light, artificial light, and I watched a documentary on Thomas Edison, and ever since that time, when the entire planet lit up artificially, we've been able to stay up much longer than we were doing before, which apparently the average quantity of sleep back then was, 8 to 10 hours. And now, what is it now, 4 to 6 hours?
That's right. Definitely less than seven.
Less than seven. So what are some of the recommendations? Do you prescribe botanicals, melatonin? What are some of your favorite remedies?
It really is so unique to every single person. There are certain people that are so highly stressed all day long that they're not able to shut off. So for those kind of people, I'll prescribe maybe fosphatidyl serine. And for some people, if it's like for women, let's say if it's a progesterone issue, then I might prescribe progesterone. But it really depends on what the deficiency is for the person. They'll determine what I will prescribe. For some people, there is no real real nutrient deficiency, so to speak. So for them, yes, botanicals. Like my favorite sleeping botanical is skullcap. That is such a great botanical that really helps a lot of people sleep.
Right. So what you're saying, what I hear you saying is that, okay, you come in, you've got insomnia, but we're not necessarily just going to treat the symptom with a natural remedy. We're going to find out what's going on. And when we do, and if we can, the body restores itself, and then we don't even need to worry about the sleep remedy.
Exactly.
And isn't that what naturopathic medicine is? It's about a discovery process, about taking the time that it takes to actually investigate the nature of the being in front of you, and through talking and conversing and doing your research and analyzing their blood or saliva or whatever, you can come up with some observational conclusions.
Absolutely. Then nothing is cookie cutter. No such thing as one size fits all like we have in our medical system. One person has diabetes, okay, well, everybody gets the drug metformin. It doesn't work that way in naturopathic medicine. And we just want to figure out what is the root problem, what is the root cause of this person's complaint. You don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden you have a heart attack. It's been a series of situations that potentially have evolved for you to bring yourself to that day.
Let's get into your website so people can get to your site and learn about you, and people that reside in Vancouver can maybe make a visit with you and see what you have to offer, and I know that you can help a lot of people. What's your website address?
It's drcanwell.com, so drcanwell.com.
Tell us about your connection with InfoFit, because I think that's ultimately how we met, and that creates that very strong connection to fitness and exercise training.
Yeah, so the way I had met Della and Andre through for InfoFit was I used to work in this office that they were at. And one of the things that I find a lot of times is missing in people is the exercise component. I mean, there's one thing to change your eating and, to live that type of lifestyle, but exercise is not an option, which I've heard you say many times as well. And we totally agree on that one. Exactly. And so because they have personal trainers there and they're all so well educated, I refer my patients to InfoFit to get their personal training. And so we've been working together since I've been in Vancouver, since 2006. And so we do lectures together, we've taught this PSN course together, and we refer patients back and forth to each other all the time.
Is there any book that you tell your people to read that really stands out, one of your favorite books, just as a general read for good health, preventive medicine, that kind of thing?
Always depends on where people are at the moment. Like right now, I love the Wheat Belly book.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you read that one yet,
yes.
But the way he has written, Dr. Davis, the way he's written, why we should not eat wheat is just beautiful. It's exactly what I've been saying for years, and now he just has a book for it.
Isn't it great to see the vindication? Like, I've been into this since I was 17, and the things that I learned at that time were just so far removed from what I was being led to believe about nutrition. People said the vitamins were useless, that whole food, natural food, was stupid, it was a waste of money. All my coaches were disagreeable. I had a football coach that said if I drank water during the practice that I was weak.
Oh, God.
And I didn't deserve to play. And that mentality still permeates professional coaches in football. It's amazing. So really this is all about education, isn't it? But wouldn't you agree that more important than the education, the knowledge we need to apply, is the desire to want to find out, the desire to want to learn?
Absolutely. You have to have it within you.
And how do you find that as a teacher yourself, you're able to transfer that desire? Do you find that people have to come to you and have it inside of them, or is it your ability to convey the beauty of true health and wealth. What affects people? What changes them from the inside? It's almost like that change that you experienced in India.
Absolutely. And to answer that, I mean, it really depends on the individual. What motivated them first to actually come here? Some people that come here have been told by a friend or a colleague that this is, you know, you should go see Dr. Canwell. But I find that if I always ask them, those types of people I always will ask, are you ready? And if you're not ready, I respect that, you know, and when you are ready, then you come back. But if it's not within you, then it's difficult for that person because you have to want to change for yourself. And if you don't have that desire within you, then it's not the right time for you. Timing is everything.
That's so true. Seema, our time is gone. Speaking of timing.
There you go.
what a wonderful interview. You just vibrate with so much energy. And it's great to know that as a naturopath, because just based on my own observation, a lot of naturopaths are not into the exercise model to the degree that you are. They somehow lapse on it. And you answered the question, I already knew this, but it's because they don't really stress enough of it, I don't think, in the training procedures. They don't focus enough on exercise physiology and sports nutrition, because I'm finding that if you take a person and get them really fit the right way in balance and then feed them the right way, there's just a whole lot of regeneration and restoration that goes on its own.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, we're going to leave now our listeners with maybe a final parting comment from you, something that maybe a little profound statement or a word from
pressure.
Master. But what are your thoughts about this life, this crazy life, and all the various things that we can choose from in life? And what do you think is really important?
See, something that you said was crazy life. See, I don't see it like that. I see life as just a beautiful thing, that we all are here for our journey. We all have our own unique journey. And it doesn't matter what somebody else has to think or say about us. It's irrelevant. What somebody else thinks of you is none of your business. What's important is what you think of you. And we all have our own unique journey that we are taking. And life is so easy. It's us that makes it difficult.
Dr. Seema Canwell has been our expert special guest on this edition of SNU. She's a naturopathic physician, a teacher, an advisor, a researcher, and someone that you can actually trust. And so we really want to thank you, Seema, for your contribution to this episode of SNU.
Thank you, Corey, for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.